Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, take these words and speak to us through them, I ask, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You may be seated. A young lady came home from a date looking very sad, and she said to her mother, "Mark proposed to me about an hour ago." And her mom said, "Well, why are you looking so sad?" She said, "Well, he told me that he was an atheist, and that he didn't even believe that there is a hell." And her mom said, "Well, marry him anyway, because between the two of us, we'll show him how wrong he really was." Well, some of you may know mothers like that who are very passionate about various things. And I've been on preaching a sermon series entitled Marks of a Spirit-Filled Church. And the first week I talked about the early church and how the early church had a power about it that allowed them to be able to heal in Jesus' name. And I talked about how the early church had the power to really proclaim the gospel in a very powerful way, in such a way that people would be transformed. And I talked about how the church also had the power really to enable people to get their attention, really to motivate them to put their trust in Christ and to serve Christ. And I said how we also as a church have that power available to us. And last week I talked about the another mark of the Spirit-filled church, and that is a church that is a church of purity. And I talked about how the early church really put an emphasis on trying to live a holy life, trying to live a life that it was a righteous life, and how while we're not able always to do that in our lives, that is to be our ultimate goal, is to seek to live a life of purity that is a reflection of the nature of Christ the way he lived his life. And so the third mark of a Spirit-filled church I want to talk about today is that which is called passion. The early church was a church of passion. And certainly, just as this mother in my earlier story had passion for her daughter's engagement, so too are Christians called to be passionate. And I want to focus on our second lesson today from Ephesians chapter 1. So if you'd like to get out your Bibles and turn again to that second lesson in Ephesians 1, it's on page 1815 in the Pew Bibles. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. And Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, talking about things that he would want them to know about Christ and things that he wants them to begin to practice as a church. And so he says this in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 1. "In him, that is in Christ, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory, and also are included in Christ when you also are included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." The reason why many Christians are passionate about their faith is because they realize that God has a plan for their life and that they are seeking to live according to that plan. And that plan often includes many adventures, includes many joys, many struggles as well. But it's a plan that Christians that have caught on to that plan really have a passion about them when they live their lives. We're passionate because, as Paul says, we have a message, and that message is a message of truth. It is the plan of salvation. We are passionate because we receive the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of that which is to come for us. The Holy Spirit has placed within us a real desire to live for God and to begin to do the things that God wants us to do. He has given us this power, the Holy Spirit, and it is only by that Holy Spirit that we have the ability to live the way that God wants us to live. That we have the ability to live with that power. We have the ability to live that pure life that He wants us to live. And that we have ultimately that ability to motivate others. We also recognize that by the Holy Spirit, we know that we are children of God. We know that God loves us, that we have a home in heaven. All those things come about as a result of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. When a Christian has this passion, it's most often manifested in three ways. When the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and disciples on the day of Pentecost, it says that they began to speak in other languages that were represented there. And it says that the people that were hearing them speaking in these other tongues heard them declaring the wonders of God. They were proclaiming the wonders of God to the people around them. With the Holy Spirit comes passion. And so the first evidence of the manifestation of the Spirit is a passion to tell the gospel. A passion to tell the gospel. Pentecost was a sacred Jewish holiday in which people from all over the known world came together. And as they were in Jerusalem, many of them heard these apostles and disciples speaking in their own languages and declaring the wonderful works of God. And so as they were hearing these 120 who had been baptized with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, as they heard them speaking, they recognized that they had a desire and a passion about Jesus Christ, whom they were proclaiming. They had an urgency about them to share the good news with others at that time. Today we are called to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to others, and this is called evangelism. The early church was an evangelical church, if you'll allow me to use that word. They were a church that had a desire, a drive, and a passion to tell others about Jesus. We have to find ways to make the gospel something that is appealing to others. Dr. Amanda Johnson, who is a scientist, made this statement about how to get people interested in science. She said, quote, "To share science, we've got to make it more approachable. We need to look up from what we are doing from time to time, connect with our coworkers, and start an engaging and open dialogue about our experiences. We need to create a better sense of community with our colleagues. Which experiments worked and which failed? Why? Why did we learn? What did we learn? Starting these conversations and adopting a more welcoming approach to interact with one another is truly the key to scientific innovation." End quote. And looking at what we are called to do as Christians in light of what she just said, let me suggest to you that she gives us a good perspective about how we are to approach this idea of evangelism. First of all, she says that it should be more approachable. We make it more approachable by looking up from what we are doing and beginning to focus upon those around us who may not have heard the message before or who may not have responded to it. We do this by connecting with our unbelieving friends and we find out what their experiences are, what they've gone through, what has led them to believe what they believe. And then that might open the door for us to then be able to share with them what we believe and why we believe it. I found that before I can share the gospel with someone, it's always helpful for me to find out from them how they got to where they are in their life. What caused them to believe the way that they're believing? And many times that gives me the opportunity then to share with them about why I believe what I believe. We can share also our struggles as well as our successes. We don't always have to paint the picture that when you become a Christian, everything goes well for you and you don't have any problems. But we can also share with them the good news about how Christ helps us to overcome the challenges and the problems that we face in our lives. We can also develop a better sense of community with our fellow Christians. As our unbelieving friends or unchurched friends see the love that we have for one another and the care that we have for our fellow church members, that can be a real drawing card for them who may be looking for a community in which they can be loved and they can be cared for. And as they do that, perhaps they can then be drawn into learning more about Christ and then maybe embracing Him as their Savior themselves. Dr. Johnson says that she starts these conversations by adopting a more welcoming approach to interact with one another. If we approach others with an upbeat, positive attitude and with a joyful heart, instead of coming to them with anger or judgmentalism or criticism, then we're much more likely to be successful when it comes to sharing our faith with others. It all starts with passion. Are we passionate about our faith? Are we passionate about Jesus Christ? Some of you may have clicked on something on the internet and seen a video come up. And if you click on that video, it begins to go through a particular product that it's trying to sell. And it oftentimes includes testimonials by others who have used the product with great success. It talks about some of the scientific research and all those sorts of things. And by the end of the video, you're thinking, man, I'm not going to be able to survive unless I have this product. And so in many ways, the gospel is the same thing. We need to recognize that this is what people really need. They really need to hear about Jesus Christ. They really need to come to embrace him so that they will have eternal life. And so that they will be able to go to heaven themselves. We have an opportunity to introduce others to the one who can give true life, not just a product that can help us in our life on this earth. They need to know the plan of salvation. Do we know how to tell others about Jesus? Do we know how to tell others about his plan of salvation for them? We also need to be ready to tell others the whole gospel. We can't just tell them that they need to believe in Jesus. Sometimes they may need to know, why do I need to believe in Jesus? Why do I have to ask him into my life? Why do I have to do those sorts of things? We need to be ready to explain to them the plan of salvation if we can. Do we know how to tell others about Jesus? So it all starts with a passion to tell the gospel. The second manifestation of the Spirit that we see, and a mark of the Spirit-filled church, is that they have a passion to plant churches. We see that Paul went about wherever he went trying to establish Christians and bring them together to form a church. And we see that as the church formed in various places, it began to grow and to flourish, and more people became Christians. Everywhere Paul went, he planted new churches. I recently heard an interesting statistic. In older established churches, there are typically 4 baptisms for every 100 members. In other words, the conversion rate is about 4%. Now, we are an established older church, and we don't normally see a lot of conversions as some other churches do who may have altar calls and things like that. We have prayer ministers up at the front at the end of the service to whom people that want to commit their life to Christ can come if they want to. But we don't see the rapid conversions that they see in newer churches. In fact, statistics say that for every 100 members, there are usually 16 conversions that happen in newly established churches. So it's much more difficult for established churches to really make converts and that sort of thing. And that's why it's so important for us as individual Christians to have that as a passion in our lives. Certainly, new churches are really a kind of a key to evangelizing our nation, and it takes a real passion to plant new churches. Our diocese has planted about 4 new churches in the last 15 years or so, and they are doing that because the bishop has a real desire to see new churches planted. However, we in established churches can, in a sense, plant churches by having small groups. Small groups are really kind of mini churches within the church. Those small groups are ways in which people that are not inclined to come into the front door of the church might be able to come into the church through a small group in which they can connect with the lives of Christians who might be a part of that group. And as they are part of that group, then they may come to know Christ themselves, and they may feel inclined to then get involved in the larger church. So we can really establish new churches by establishing small groups within the life of our church as well. And I hope that maybe some of you might be called to start a small group in your home as a way of inviting unchurched people and maybe unchristians into your home as a way of introducing them to the Christian faith. The bishops talked also about wanting to plant a church up in the Bonds Ranch area. And perhaps our church might be a mother church to plant a church up in that area in the future at some time. So a third manifestation of the Spirit that we see in the early church, an indication of a Spirit-filled church, if you will, is really related to the first two. And that is that it has a passion for the lost. It has a passion for the lost. We see in Acts chapter 8 that the church was scattered around because of persecution. And wherever they went, they took the gospel. They sought to engage others in conversation about Jesus Christ. The believers didn't simply occupy themselves with survival as they went. They had a passion for the lost that they encountered on the way. A passion for lost souls was a salient point in the life of the early church. Do we have that same passion for lost souls? Do we really believe that there are people out there that are lost? People out there that are going to be separated from the love of God for all eternity? If we don't believe that, then we really have no desire to go out and to introduce others to Jesus Christ. On the day of Pentecost, the 120 didn't say to those in the street that they needed to listen in a certain language or dress a certain way or act just right before they could hear the message. The 120 took the message to those who were present at their level, language barriers at all. Do we have that kind of commitment and passion? Are we motivated to tell others about Jesus, even if it means that they think that we're a little zealous for our faith? You might remember on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and disciples, those around them thought that maybe they were drunk, even though it was only 9 o'clock in the morning. Are we willing to take the gospel to people rather than to expect them to come to the gospel themselves? One author I read said it like this: Coco is a fluffy kitten who loves to play early in the morning and wake people up. One morning, Dad could not go back to sleep because Coco woke him up. So he turned on the TV hoping it would put him to sleep. A show came on about deep sea fishing. The fishermen were so excited about fishing that pretty soon Dad could not go back to sleep. That's what our attitude should be about reaching the lost. We should have so much passion that we cannot sleep until we are reaching the lost. End quote. A spirit-filled church is a church that has a passion for evangelism. It is a church that seeks at all costs to tell its society about the love and forgiveness offered through Jesus Christ. Is the Anglican Church of the 21st century a church that is completely dedicated to evangelizing the world? Do we possess the evidence of tongues? I don't mean necessarily speaking in angelic languages or even in known languages beyond our own. I do mean, however, as an evidence of being filled with the Spirit, do we have a passion for telling others the gospel story of Jesus Christ? A Spirit-filled church is a church that tells others about Jesus with a passion. I want to conclude with a quote from St. Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 11. You don't need to turn there, but this is what he says: Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we have to admit that many times we're fearful and we're afraid to tell others about our faith. We're afraid that we might turn them off or that we might in some way embarrass them or that we might in some way embarrass ourselves. Lord, would you fill us with a passion to reach out to the lost, to the unchurched, to those who are unbelievers? Would you give us a passion to be sensitive to the opportunities that you might bring our way, so that we would be able to perhaps introduce them to the one who can give them eternal life? We thank you that you have given us that new life as well. Lord, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may have a passion to share the good news with others? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.